Well, good afternoon and welcome to KMUZ's Waste Matters on the Air. I'm Alan Pennington, and I'm here with our program today to delve into issues about waste and how to prevent it. Do need to apologize there for we had a little problem with our being on the air when we weren't supposed to. So for those of you who are listening, glad you're listening. Sorry about the inconvenience there. Anyway, again, I'm here today with our friends from Marion County Environmental Services. We've got Griselda Puga here. And also I have Art Kinsey, who's the owner of Suburban Garbage. And we're going to talk about some composting today. But before we get to that, I'd like to do a couple announcements before we get into our subject. And so the first one is this upcoming this weekend, the Salem Area Friends of Trees are going to be having a crew leader training. That's going to be out at Clark Creek Park here in Salem at 9 o'clock in the morning. So everybody's supposed to meet there at the park at Clark Creek, and after they do some planting, they're going to head over to Life Source, where they've got a common room for more training and food. They're going to feed you lunch. You should be done a little bit after 1 o'clock. If you want more information about that crew leader training, just go to www.friendsoftrees.org. We also have something of interest to you, more on our line of work here. Our Master Recycler class is now online to be signed up for. The Marion County Public Work Environmental Services is now accepting applications for the upcoming Master Recycler class. It's going to begin January 22nd. That's 2015, right around the corner. Master Recyclers learn extensively about the how-tos and what-fors of recycling, along with classes on composting, worm raising, waste reduction, dealing with household hazardous waste, turning blue cart materials into art, along with my most favorite part of it all, the exciting field trips that we go to places where the public does not tread. We go to see places where they do commercial recycling and composting. We go to make a trip out to the incinerator and much more. To receive an application or to find out more information, just go to www.mcrecycles.net and you get all the information you want about that. So, today, we're to talk about getting kind of down and dirty, so to speak, and talk about compost. And for some of y'all who aren't exactly sure what compost is, it's kind of defined as a naturally occurring process that results in the breakdown of organic matter that turns into a rich soil substance that's full of nutrients. And it looks like it's like a dark, brown, crumbly soil. And it has a fragrance, yes, it has a fragrance, like what a florist floor smells like. So if you know what that smells like, you know what I'm talking about. So how does this happen? Well, there's two kinds. And there's naturally occurring, which is also called rotting or decay or organic breakdown. And then there's controlled composting. This could happen in your backyard where maybe you've got a composter that you purchased or a worm bin. And there's also commercial operations to do this where they basically you're just accelerating Mother Nature's natural processes into something that you now will have an end product with. So what is this organic matter we're talking about and how does it tie into our overall topic of waste? Well, we view that organic matter as essentially yard debris and food waste. They're mostly the same thing, but they differ in a few respects. Just think about it, because if we're talking about yard debris, we're talking about the leaves, the grass, the trimmings, small limbs that might come off of your property and that you gather together because you want to remove them off your property, either to compost or to have hauled away. Then there's food waste. The food waste then would be anything that's coming out of your kitchen that might have meat and dairy in it. It might be the leftover tomatoes that you didn't quite get to eating. Just anything that you are going to eat. So, and for years that yard debris has been collected and commercially composted, but food waste was not. Which is why we're here today to talk to these particular guests. So, again, I'd like to reintroduce Griselda and Art, who are here graciously to talk with you about this. And so, Art, we're going to start with you. Good afternoon, Art.
Good afternoon, Alan.
It's good to have you here, and I was hoping that you could tell folks just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, basically, I was born and raised in a farm family in the Silverton Hills, and when my wife and I got married in the spring of 81, we moved into Polk County, and where we raised one daughter and five sons. I like to tell people that I went to the School of Hard Knocks in rural Polk County, and that's kind of what prepared me for my current position, which is in the spring of 97, I abandoned my hog operation that I had there, and I moved in to manage Suburban Garbage Service, which actually is owned by the Leo Buchheit family. There are my wife and four of her siblings are the owners of the company.
Okay. So, you know, well, as the guy in the room with the most years experience in solid waste and garbage collection and whatnot, we're hoping that you could give us a little brief overview of the history of Marion County collection, because it didn't always appear this way. We didn't always have all the bins out at our yard. So kind of how did that evolve?
Well, as I'm sure some of you can remember, there was a time when most people's garbage service consisted of a tin garbage can in their backyard that the hauler came in to pick up. They threw it on their shoulder and yarded it out to the street to put it in the truck. As the population increased and the need for landfill space grew, some of you might remember there was a small landfill in McClay. The Browns Island landfill was being used, the landfill there at Woodburn. The McClay landfill was closed, I believe, in the late 70s. They wanted to shut down the Browns Island landfill. And I remember a public hearing in the little town of Pratham here in East Salem. We needed some place to take our waste, and one of the suggestions was to put a giant landfill in some of the best farm ground in the Pacific Northwest. And some of the farmers and the people in the area there weren't too happy about that, and it was about that time then that the incinerator came into being, and it went up to a public vote, and that waste-to-energy facility was constructed there in Brooks. It started its first operations, I believe, in September of 1986. My father-in-law, Leo Buchheit, I believe, dumped the first load in the pit there. And when that happened, the statement was made, you can bring Mount Hood in here and we will incinerate it. After that time, it was found that obviously you can't efficiently incinerate everything. So a list started, tires, roofing, PVCs, and different things that couldn't be incinerated there. And so we actually started a material recovery facility to help facilitate that. And then as the populations grew and the desire for more things to be recycled, we started different recycling programs. It was in the summer of 1997 when the city of Salem went with a full roll cart system. And along with that came the collection of yard debris as a separate item. And then it wasn't until 2001 when the city of Salem opted for the blue cart program with commingled recycling. And so that's kind of a beginning of the system, from what I recall, Alan.
That's a great recapitulation of that. So appreciate that, Art. And so again, a lot of folks oftentimes talk about the landfill. In reality, very little gets landfilled around here. Almost all of the garbage that's going to be disposed is going to be going to the incinerator, where they also convert it into electricity. I think about 13.5 megawatts of energy are being produced all the time. Let's think of this. Before we get into the organics, which when we say organics here, we're really talking about food waste going into a yard cart or some sort of cart that's going to be composted. But so what happens, though, when somebody in the county has typically it's a green bin, and they're putting their yard debris in there, they're putting their sticks and their grass and their leaves, what happens to that?
Well, currently, that material is being collected and taken down to a facility called Pacific Region Compost out of Corvallis. And that facility was the first one in the state that was cited to take food waste when we started our food waste program. That's currently where all that material is going.
Okay. Now, are they the only composting site around? I mean, are they it?
No, they're not. Since that time, Recology, I believe, has two sites. There's one in McMinnville and one in Almsville that I believe are able to take food waste now as well as the regular yard debris items.
Mm-hmm. And I think Griselda, Marion County has a composting facility, correct?
Yes, we usually compost over at Browns Island, and the compost that's being produced there, it's mainly from all the leaves from the leaf program that we have, leaf collection program, and that's where once we collect all those leaves, then we produce compost there.
Okay, so but that wouldn't have any food waste in it?
No.
Okay, so that's really, it's organic matter, but it's not an organic collection, okay? So, so Griselda, it's good to have you here with us. So tell me a little bit about, tell us everybody about yourself a little bit, because we don't know who you are.
Okay, well, I am a waste reduction coordinator. So I work with Alan, and there's four of us in the office. And so part of what I do is I manage this, the commercial composting program. There is also the residential side of the program. There's a residential composting, but I focus mainly on the commercial side of the composting program. I started with Marion County about 2 years ago. And I just recently came back from maternity leave, so I'm kind of trying to get back into the programs and get, you know, myself situated and see what's happening out there, getting more businesses to participate in this program. And that's the main reason why I'm here today.
Okay, thank you. So getting back to organics here, so food waste can now be added to the green cart. Again, I'm just going to refer to it as the yard debris cart or the green cart, same thing. So what foods are we talking about here? What can somebody actually toss into that cart?
So in the green cart, so businesses can put all food. So anything like fruits, vegetables, meats, seafood, all that, dairy. All that can be placed in the green container. We are also taking food soil paper, so napkins. They can also go into this green container, and plants as well. What we're not taking is plastic. No kinds of plastics are allowed in the green container. No styrofoam or metal, anything like that. That doesn't go in the green container. That is put in the garbage container.
Okay.
Or recycled, depending on what the businesses have.
So everybody in Marion County can do this now, correct?
No. This is just a program that's offered in Salem and Kaiser.
Okay.
So this is a program that's offered to businesses that are located within Salem and Kaiser.
Okay. So in Salem and Kaiser, just in the city areas and in the urban growth boundary, is that also?
Yes, within the urban growth boundary.
Okay, so and just in those two areas there. So, Art, when you're collecting, does Suburban collect outside of Salem-Kaiser?
Yes, we do. We collect some in rural Marion County.
So, but in the rural areas, they don't have yard debris, correct?
No, they don't. When we talk to the county about our programs, we try to make things as cost-effective as possible. And the distance we have to travel in rural Marion County makes it not really cost effective to do a program there. And most of the people living in rural Marion County have other options to other ways of disposing of their yard debris. And as you know, the city of Salem has a ban on backyard burning, and that was one of the things that was impetus for us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's good to know though that even though in the urban and the rural areas, even though they don't have the green carts, they can recycle now though, correct? They could have recycle bins.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have our blue cart commingle system countywide now.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things that makes me so proud to be in Marion County, because there's just we've just got a great relationship between the government and between the different jurisdictions, and then the hauler organizations, the different companies like yourself, who really work together just to expand the program to whatever way we can make it work. Don't you think so, Art?
Well, I think so. I think Marion County has a system that everybody can be proud of. And, you know, that's one of the benefits of the franchise system like we have here in the state of Oregon. It's a great collaboration between private industry and government. And it allows us to present programs that may not be cost effective in other areas. And so I believe it gives our citizens definitely the best bang for the buck and the best programs that we can come up with.
Okay, good point. So Irma's got an important message for us.
On Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Capitol Mall steps, Salem Zombies will dance the Michael Jackson Thriller Dance in unison with dancers throughout the world in the Thrill of the World event. Last year saw 6,451 zombies in 22 countries simultaneously dancing, Salem among them. This is a free opportunity to see Salem Zombies dance. There will be even a KMUZ zombie dancing.
Cool.
You are listening to KMUZ Turner on 88.5 FM, your Mid-Willamette Valley Community Radio Station, streaming online at KMUZ.org and on your smartphone or tablet via the free TuneIn radio application.
Thank you so much, Irma. Okay, so zombie dancing at the Capitol, 3 o'clock Saturday, not tomorrow, Saturday.
I expect to see you out there, Alan.
You keep expecting, Art. So, all right, so getting back to organics, you mentioned that only Salem and Kaiser have organics collections. So we'll just think about Salem and Kaiser now. So who actually, I mean, the residents get this, correct, Griselda?
Yes, they do.
So everybody automatically, if you've got a green cart, it's your yard and your house, and you have collection, you can put all those things that you mentioned in there.
Yes.
Okay. So is that also true for all commercial buildings and businesses?
For the commercial side of things, businesses have to make that decision whether they want to have that service. So what we're doing is we're trying to motivate businesses to participate. And what they have to do is they have to contact their garbage hauler and, request or ask questions about this program. That's the best way to do it. But what they also can do is they can call our office and I can talk to them and possibly facilitate that communication between them and the garbage hauler.
Okay. So, but why would they want to? I mean, is there an incentive to doing this?
Yes, there's a lot of great things about participating. So one of the incentives is that we actually try to promote these businesses who are participating. We try to mention them in our Waste Matters publication, and we try to make sure that we also mention them in different newsletters. We also, have on our website, they can go and see who's participating, and so we're trying to develop that aspect of the program, trying to get more businesses to participate. They also receive a lot of benefits from the county. Well, some of the things that the county offers is we offer assistance. We have decals and training material that we can give them, and we also provide setup recommendations and support. Mm-hmm. So this is all that the businesses are getting.
So, Art, thinking about again on those incentives, if a business, let's say a restaurant, because they would probably have more food waste than say an insurance company, would being an organics collector as a restaurant and being really serious about it and doing it correctly, do you think it would in the long term, could it possibly lower their garbage bill?
Well, lowering their garbage bill might be a stretch. When we started this program, we wanted to make sure that it wasn't more expensive to do the right thing. And so we've adjusted our rates so that the cost of collecting the food waste will lower their bill just a little bit. But we recognize that there are times when it may take a little bit more labor to do that. So we've made the price so that a commercial business can downsize their dumpster, add the food waste collection, and their bill will be slightly less than what it was prior to them doing that.
Mm-hmm. And so, Art, I know that you've been one of the of I think probably of all the haulers. It's just my impression that you've been the one that's been most doing the most outreach in that area. It really been. I know that Griselle tells me you've met with a lot of businesses. You've talked to a lot of folks about it. Do you think you're having some success getting businesses to get on board with this program?
Yes, we are, Alan. You know, people have different perspectives about these kinds of things, but by and large, there's most of the people in our business community understand the importance of being environmentally friendly with their business practices. And so when I would sit down and talk with them, it wasn't real difficult to get most of them on board with the concept. There were some businesses that after they thought about their layout and how they prepared their meals that were reluctant to take a stab at it. But for the ones that did, they did a good job of it right from the get-go. And when we, Suburban Garbage ran a pilot project to start this process, and then the rest of the haulers agreed to, when we figured out how to make that all happen, agreed to jump on board, and I believe they have done that. When we started our pilot project, I believe we were collecting 8 ton of food scraps a week from restaurants, and so we're somewhere in that range right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's inspiring to hear that you guys are doing all this outreach to try to get these folks involved, and I think, you know, Marion, Salem and Kaiser have certainly made it easy. Because this program has been rolled out and it's part of the routine service with your yard debris. What about the other cities? Do you think, Salem right now, it's just Salem Kaiser. We haven't heard that Silverton or Staten or Woodburn have moved forward with this kind of collection. Do you think they will, or what do you think is holding them back?
Well, I think given enough time, I think they will. I know Republic Services has offered that program, but each jurisdiction has to authorize that on their own. And so I know the presentation has been made to a number of those cities, and they have opted not to go with the food waste program because there is a little bit of an additional cost to do that, you know, even to add it to the residential. But I believe over time, you know, Alan, you know how it works with peer pressure.
Yeah.
I think it'll happen eventually.
Yes. I hope you're right. And do you have anything to add to that, Griselda?
I think it's also important that the public becomes aware of this program and that, you know, they when they go to their favorite restaurant, if they're asking, like, their favorite restaurant, if they're participating in this program, or that they mention it to the managers and owners, I think that's really important, and I think that's going to hopefully make it to where the business owners are actually wanting to participate.
Mm-hmm. So you guys were talking about there's barriers to, you know, getting people to adopt these programs. So what do businesses need any special equipment if they're going to let's think of a restaurant, because again that's the most likely collection business, I would think. Do they need anything special? Do they need special carts or cleaners, or is there anything that would make it more difficult to become part of this process?
I think it would just take a little bit of time to train the employees. But once the employees are trained, it seems like in all the businesses that we've worked with, they've done a really good job. And so I think that it probably would take a little bit of time to train the employees. But that's why we're there. We're here to provide the assistance, provide some help. I want to also mention that we have materials in Spanish. So if the kitchen staff speaks Spanish only, then we can help them and we can help the business owner get the employees trained.
Well, one of the things that I think we have to talk about now is one of the probably the biggest organization that has taken part in the organics collection, the food waste collection, has been the Salem Kaiser School District. And Griselda, I know that you have been working with some of the haulers and some of the other folks to facilitate that. Please tell us about it.
Yes, this is one of the parts of this program that I'm really happy about, because we have introduced food composting or food separation in the Salem Kaiser School District to where now all the elementaries are separating their food waste. All the students in all the elementary schools in the Salem-Keizer School District are now separating the food waste in their school cafeterias. And so we're trying to move on to the middle schools. So we have a couple middle schools that are also doing the same, and we're hopeful that by the end of the school year we'll get all the middle schools to separate their food waste.
And for those of you who have not been into a school lately, it's so cool when you see the kids in the cafeterias. I mean, they've already, you know, they already cleaned their own plates. They already put the silverware off to the side. And they take their milk carton and put it into a little tub where it drains out, any excess milk drains out so that they can collect those milk cartons. And now the only thing that they're doing different, really, right, Griselda, they're just putting that food waste in a different bin.
Yeah, and it's actually a green container. It's a green bin so that we are trying to color coordinate that too so that it makes it – they kind of create that relation to when they think of food waste, they think of the green green container.
Yeah. That's very exciting.
Well, and if the students can do it, then we all can do it. We all can take that time to, I mean, we should think about it that way. You know, if our kids are doing that in the schools, then we should take a little bit of time and try to implement those programs or that step in the household or in the business.
Absolutely. And, you know, you guys have done a great job. I mean, just think about it. You go into a McDonald's or a fast food restaurant, they've trained you when you go in there to clean your own table, right?
Exactly.
So it's just the same thing, only they're you're separating out the food waste there.
Yeah, and, you know, Alan, you asked about barriers. You know, the school program was exciting for me because if we can get our children to do it, like Griselda said, I think it's a mind thing. I have a restaurant that's owned by a Chinese-speaking person. His head cook is Hispanic, does not speak English. They do it flawlessly.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear, yeah. So, Art, when you're trying to get somebody to do this, what do you just cold call them? Or you just know somebody? You just go, that guy, he's perfect for this program.
No, when I first started the program, I just made a list of potential customers, and I called to find the right person to talk to. Went in and made an appointment, talked about what we do, and asked them about how much they cared about our environment and some other things like that to try to encourage them to get on board. And I showed them how simple it was. I tried to alleviate their concerns. One of them was the smell and the flies and all that stuff. So it became apparent right away that when we started collection, we needed to wash the carts out commercially so that they didn't have a stinking food waste cart outside their back door. So that's all part of the service that we provide for them.
That's great. I think that probably takes away a lot of fears that businesses would have and organizations would have about that food waste cart, because I know that's a common concern with people that have had that in their yard debris cart, but pretty soon they learn that it's not that big of a deal, or they find ways around it. I just spray mine out with a hose after it gets hauled. So,
well, and we tell people that are concerned about that, they can put it in the freezer and put it in frozen.
Yeah.
And then they don't have to worry about it.
As long as they don't get confused and turn into stew. Yeah. You guys, it's been great having you both here. Griselda, Art, thank you so much and appreciate you taking the time to come down here today to chat with folks about the commercial aspects of composting and organics collection. We're going to have I hope all the listeners out there will join us in 2 weeks on Thursday, November 6th. Speaking of commercial composting, we're going to have Christy Reed of the Grand Hotel and Sherry Miotke it's the manager of Bentley's. And Bentley's was one of the original pilot programs to start looking at food waste when they first started trying to see, well, will this work? And they were part of that. And so we'll find out how they do that there, and also how, you know, both of those businesses are very sustainable, earthwise businesses, and we're going to jump into that. But anyway, in between now and then, I'd love to hear from you. If you go to environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us, which we all know is the sexiest email address in America, you can get in contact with us and ask us questions if you'd like to have those addressed on the next show. You could also find us on Facebook and YouTube. And until then, stay in touch.